Contrary to popular belief, there have always been operatic sopranos who have looked their parts as convincingly as they've sung them. Half a century ago, the operatic world made the acquaintance of an American soprano so ravishing to behold that in Italy she starred in feature films and for 13 years hosted her own hugely popular variety show on television. But it was on stage in opera that she shone most brightly, with a special gift for communication, an ability to live whatever roles she played, and a breathtaking, uniquely sensuous voice. Her name was Anna Moffo. Moffo as Massenet's Manon, a role she was born to sing and act. Manon was made for her looks, her sound, the sparkle and polish of her style, and above all, her ability to entrance any audience through her irresistible femininity. In a way, there were two Anna Moffos. One was the opera singer who could mesmerize listeners with a noble and elegant legato line, for example, in this aria from Mozart's Il Re Pastore. There was the Anna Moffo who captivated an entirely different audience in her performances of popular music. Here she is in a number from her television show.
Spring love comes upon you. When it's gone, you feel despair. Soon now in the moon glow, you'll find that a new love is there. Darby, where you find it, when you find it, to be waiting everywhere.
The point is, Moffo simply presented music she enjoyed, and her only aim was to please her audience. Like many other American singers of her time, she helped immeasurably to make opera accessible. Yes, she exuded the ultimate in glamour, but there was nothing in the least remote or unapproachable about her. She was adored by audiences everywhere, from Chicago and New York to Milan and Tokyo. A first-generation American, Anna Moffo was born to Italian parents in Wayne, Pennsylvania. In high school, the future diva was actually a field hockey star. Her parents hoped she'd become a nun, but she had a voice, and it needed training, which it received at the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia. If Moffo were starting out today, she would have gone from Curtis right into one of the country's top young artist programs. But in her formative years, those programs didn't exist. The logical next step for her was Italy. She got there on a Fulbright grant and studied in Rome with great teachers. She first stepped on stage at Spoleto in Don Pasquale, but much more significant for her was a nationally televised production of Madama Butterfly in 1956. The director, Mario Lanfranchi, fell in love with her. They were married shortly thereafter. Here, from that memorable Butterfly, is the fresh, amazingly poised singing of the 23-year-old Anna Moffo. butterfly made Moffo a star. The most important houses and festivals in Europe immediately came calling. Vienna, Naples, La Scala, Aix-en-Provence, and Salzburg, where she was invited by Herbert von Karajan to sing Nanetta in Falstaff. In Act 3, Moffo's singing really cast a spell. You can tell in this live recording that her voice was pure silk. No one, but no one, has ever sung Nanetta's aria more beautifully. Very early on, Moffo was making studio recordings, which she continued to do for two decades. She began as Musetta in La Bohème, opposite an unlikely Mimi, none other than Maria Callas. Here's that wonderful moment of Act Two when Musetta sings the final phrases of her waltz song as Mimi observes her sympathetically. La Bohème was Moffo's vehicle when she finally returned to her homeland in 1957 to make her American debut at Lyric Opera of Chicago. On that occasion, she sang Mimi with a great Jussi Björling as her leading man. She was at Lyric again the following year for four major roles, Nanetta, Liu, Lauretta, and Gilda. Finally, in 1959, she arrived at the Metropolitan Opera, ready to dazzle audiences as Violetta, which would soon become her signature role. The critics clearly felt that she had a lot to prove. Some wrote of the level that she'd reached, but also emphasized the need for caution if she was to achieve everything her talent deserved. She has the brains, ability, voice, and looks, said Harold Schoenberg in the New York Times. And if she develops the musical temperament to go along with them, there will be no stopping her. By the time she recorded Traviata a few years later, she was totally in command of all aspects of Violetta.
Woo!
Mafo starred in 20 roles at the Met. Stylistically, she took on Mozart and Bel Canto, Verdi, Puccini, and a lot of French repertoire, ranging from Manon and the four heroines of The Tales of Hoffmann to Debussy's Mélisande. Her last role in the house was Violetta in 1976. After Mafo emerged from a vocal crisis in the mid-1970s, she did continue to sing internationally and even added some new roles on stage, but things were never the same vocally. No doubt the Met audience and those watching on television wept tears of nostalgia in 1983 when she came back for the Met Centennial Gala to sing an operetta duet with Robert Merrill. The greatest joy in Mafo's later life came from her happy second marriage to Robert Sarnoff, chairman of RCA Corporation, who died in 1997. Mafo also coached young singers, served as a board member of the Metropolitan Opera Guild, and was a beloved figure welcomed gratefully at musical events throughout New York. She died of a stroke in 2006, after 10 years of courageously fighting breast cancer. An abundance of video material we have of Mafo shows us that she was always graceful, subtle, and completely natural, with that special vitality and electricity that define a star. When we remember Anna Mafo today, the word that comes to mind is radiance, a voice of person and of heart.
Oh.